Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower. Now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast. Ooh. The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Hello, here I am. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. Welcome to the show. I'm Nikki Glaser. I'm in Los Angeles still. Andrew Collin is holding down my fort in St. Louis. He's in my apartment alone. How's it going in there?
Everything smells good here, Nick.
And Noah is, of course, in Arizona. How you guys doing today? What's the vibe?
I'm a vampire.
What do you mean?
Look at how pale I look.
Yeah, you do look pale. Camera. I look so orange. I really went heavy on the Sally Hansen today. Like, I just...
You did?
Yeah, I just saw some pictures yesterday and like footage where I just did not look as tan as I wanted to be. It really does. It just does something for my tude. It makes me feel amazing to be a bronzed goddess. It just changes everything for me. It's not worth it to me to not stain everything that I said. I just did literally. This is my seventh hour of talking today, and this is the seventh hour of the Today Show, and I sat on. For the last thing I did, I was sweating so much because I think I was revealing too much. It was like a show about DMs and just about like who have you DM'd, who's DM'd you, what celebrities. And I was tired and like hungry and I just gave them what they wanted. And I said things I probably shared things I shouldn't have. And I was sweating so much. And I got up from my seat. It was on a white couch and I left behind a significant print. And you could tell they were all like, what the fuck? Like, they weren't okay about it. Like, I'm so used to leaving orange everywhere and people being like, oh, it's okay. We'll just fucking dry clean it or, you know, shout wipes and stuff. But they seemed to be actually mystified. And I said, well, it's because you guys made me sweat. I was, like, nervous because I'm talking about... No one's going to ever DM me again because they don't feel like their privacy can be trusted.
Now, but, what's the outline look like?
I don't really need anyone to DM me.
Does it look like a dead body? Like, what was the outline looking like?
Is it just legs?
How much was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, no. It's just like, it just looks like an orange apparition. Like a, like the markings of like a ghost are left behind. I'm very into ghosts right now. And like the, you know, ever since watching Tyler Henry, I finished the show like 10 episodes last night. I love it so much. So it looked like, yeah, it was just looked like there was a very tan, like it was the ghost of, who's that one really tan guy that I think he used to, Dick Clark.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, he was tan. Oh, no, it's another guy.
Tom Jones.
No.
Tom Jones is very orange. It's a good, but it's a different guy.
He's not dead either. He's not dead.
He isn't? Well.
Well, he could be, but his tan looks so good. He looks alive.
Right.
I just saw a video of a rapper that died who got shot to death. He was 24, and they put him in a club, and they just erected his body where he was just standing there in the corner with his hand. Yeah, but like. Like dead. Like it's. That's what I want to do.
Is this in the United States?
If I ever die, just put me on a putting green, and just
yeah. Well, that's how you'll probably die. We can just leave you there.
Yeah, just leave me where you found me. Just have a party around my dead body.
Do you ever get scared of getting hit by lightning? Isn't that what happens to like golfers a lot?
I'm the shortest out there. I'll be fine.
Right.
I think. I don't know. Yeah. With my hairy fucking body and my fat nipples, I'll be fine. I could take on a strike. I think.
You just said the age 24, and I just posted. Emil Joaquim is doing the Tonight Show tonight. He's on Fallon. Mm-hmm. Or it was last night. This is going out on Wednesday, but a Tuesday night. And I was also 24 when I did my first Tonight Show, and I just posted a picture of what I looked like on my first Tonight Show. It is so wild how I look like I'm wearing a fat suit, and that is not like to be offensive to anyone. It looks like I'm trapped inside, and I was trapped in my body. Like I just was so miserable then, but I just can't believe I went on TV looking like that. And no one was like, and it's not about the weight. I want to be very clear about that. My hair just looks like greasy. I'm pale. Like I just didn't know what the fuck I was doing with anything when I was 24. And it's
Did you have a stylist back then or like
no,
any
girl.
Kind of team entourage?
No, I had no idea. It was my first time ever getting a car service, which is, I know Aww. Sounds like bougie, but like that is ubiquitous in my life now. Like just getting in cars that have been, that's just like what I do. And
I
remember
like
the first time.
No? You didn't need a truck?
What do you mean? Oh, God. You. For my dumps?
No, wait. Can I ask a question?
I didn't have a stylist. I went to Urban Outfitters. What?
Was that Leno or Fallon?
Leno before Conan left, like the original Leno. Yeah, it was January 27th, 2009.
Didn't you get it like a day before? What happened?
No, the day of.
Day of.
I got.
Emil's known for 7 months.
I know. Emil's been, that's because he's known about his actual date of doing it for probably like a couple weeks now. And so he's been like, oh, it's coming up. And I mean, I knew the morning of, I got woken up by a call at 11 a.m. And, but I had already had they had proved my set, which is like, they say you do your set a bunch of times for the bookers and then they eventually go fix this. Tweak this, and then you eventually give them one, and they go, "That's it." And I got the set. They're like, "That's the set." We're so excited. And then I waited, and I told my family, I told my friends, like my parents told everyone they knew. And I was, you know, struggling in LA. I didn't have a job. I was constantly overdrafting my account. My mom was putting in money to bail me out, and they were running out of. It was just like a bad situation. But then I got the Tonight Show, and it was like, oh, everything's looking up. And I still was like not making money, but at least I had the Tonight Show. And then 2 years passed and I was not booked, so I gave up. And then that one January 27th, 2009, I woke up to a call from the Tonight Show saying that we had a dropout, are you able to do it tonight? And I didn't remember the set that I had given them initially to go do on the show because it had been so long. But I had it on a DVD because at that time the club that I did it at gave me a DVD of that set. And I thought I'd never forget it. But, you know, 2 years passes and I totally didn't remember it. But I woke up that day. I couldn't find the DVD. I just ran to go get my hair done because I just thought, like, that's what you need to do. You need to dye your hair. So I went and got my hair, like, colored and highlighted, even though it looks brown. I don't even know what I was thinking. I should have gotten it, like, I should have just gone and gotten a spray tan. That would have been so much better for me. But I went to Urban Outfitters. And I remember telling the girl, like, I'm going to be on the Tonight Show and kind of being, like, coy about it, but also being like, it's so cool, you know? And I remember she was just like, okay, I mean, I don't know. I was like, you're not you're not impressed by that at all. Like, at all.
Yeah.
Like, I just remember being like, oh, she doesn't think that's cool. And she, you should just
while
go look
waiting.
At my Instagram. It's like, I have these black boots and a black, like, I guess, just bandeau. I don't even know what's called. What's it called when it doesn't, a sleeveless dress? Not sleeveless, but it's it doesn't have any top to it. Are you looking at it?
Yeah, I think it's a bandeau.
Bandeau. Like shimmery black bandeau. And it was just, I'm wearing stockings too. Like, who wears stockings? I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I really didn't know. I think I got my hair and makeup done in like 2 seconds in the chair there. Now it would be like 2 hours and I'd get there before. It was just, it's so
funny.
Who
else was on the show? And what did Jay talk to you afterwards? Was there anything like,
I didn't know what the set was. So I get home at, the car service is picking me up at like, let's say 4 o'clock and the show's tapes at 5. And I get home, I pull into my driveway. I see this black car out front being like, wait, is that? So I get in that. And so I was like, just 1 second. I'm like telling the driver, like, wait 1 second. I grab my roommate's laptop because I didn't have one. I couldn't afford it. And I go searching through all the DVDs we had to find that one set. And I finally found it. It was like a mirror. I could not believe I found this set. And I watched it on the way to the set in the back of this car. And I studied, I just like memorized the set I did that night that they approved. And then as soon as I got on the lot, I opened the door and Bob and Ross were there, the bookers. And they were like, what's the set? We don't remember it. What is it? And I just ran it off and they were like, that's great. That's we knew.
So you could have done anything probably.
Probably. But at that point, they would have been like, what is that? Like, it was 2 years later. I mean, it was a significant amount of time. I did a rape joke, which I couldn't do on any network nowadays, I don't think, let alone NBC. And Rainn Wilson and Huba Stank were the other guests. And Paul Abdul was the one that I was filling in for. I was the second guest, which comedians are never the second guest ever.
Yeah.
And before the set, I was just like shown my like spot to go, like to stand. My parents weren't there. Obviously, like my parents would have been there had I known about it. Like they would have flown in. My friends would have been there. My only friend there was Jen Murphy at the time. She lived down the street, so she was able to go. My roommate Lisa, she was on the NBC lot. She worked as an assistant for someone in the lit department, so she was able to go. But when they showed me my spot where to stand when they pulled back the curtain before the show started, Jay was out there doing something and he walked over and was like, hey, so we're all excited to have you on the show. And like, you know what? Just like kill it. Like, just do whatever you want. Like, okay, they're going to tell you to wrap it up, but just like have fun. And he encouraged me, like, do what you want. And it was very nice. And so I found out later, like, the bookers got in trouble because I went too long because I was kind of following Jay's advice. And I killed. Like, I had the best, one of the best. I always have the best sets doing tonight shows, but it was a great set.
How far over did you go?
Probably like 30 seconds to a minute, which is everything in late night. But I walked over to the couch, and the funniest part was I walked over and Rainn Wilson was there being interviewed before me. So he was still on the couch. And I walked over and he got up and was like, great job. And I was like, thanks, Dwight. And I said Dwight very loudly, and that's obviously his character's name on The Office. And I didn't catch it until I watched it later, and I was like, oh, God. And then, I was just, like, sitting there.
Wait, was that on purpose or
no,
like,
no, my God. Oh, I was just flabbergasted and just said his character's name. It was so embarrassing. And I remember my boyfriend at the time, like, didn't say anything when it aired, like, I was just so hurt by him not watching it. I remember later that night, he was like, all he said was something like, Rainn Wilson isn't funny or something like that. Like, it was just something about the show, but not about
Instead
me. And I was
giving
like,
giving you credit. Yeah.
Oh, it was just so hurtful. I remember so that.
I don't have
being
cable. Sorry. I don't have a TV. It's like, yeah,
it
you
just,
do.
He was not capable of like being loving and like doing, he just wasn't capable of it. And I just remember, I'm so sad for like the girl that I was, like being so sad that night, because it's when something that like sucks. That happens where like the person you care about lets you down in that way so severely, where it's like there's just no excuse for not saying something nice, you know. Mm-hmm. You just know this isn't gonna work. It maybe isn't gonna end now, but it's over. At some point it's gonna be over. And you know, little did I know it was going to be like a year and a half later. But at that moment, it was just like,
after
you just know. No.
He's like, you can't keep doing this to me. What? Succeeding?
It is important. Yeah, it's just... that the person in your life, like that, also it is important well, to me that people say nice things about stuff and not try to act too cool for it, and or like they're not impressed. Like, I really need that. I just feel like it's just, I don't know. I get really sad when, like, I don't know. It's kind of a Glazer trait too. Like my family has such expectations for people being complimentary and thankful, and like mostly complimentary. Accolades is my dad's favorite word. They didn't give you enough accolades. Why are they? I want them to like talk about your accolades. Like, they get really upset when family members or friends aren't like. They'll even be like, wasn't Nikki great on that thing? They'll like kind of set someone up, and if you don't deliver, they're like almost like you're dead to them. And I'm always like, people are jealous, Dad, and that's not me being like, you know, they want to be us. They're just, their lives aren't going well, and it's really hard, especially sometimes for me, to celebrate other people when my life is not going well, and it's literally impossible to be enthusiastic about someone. And so it's not really. You don't need to take it so personally.
I think some people see it as a weakness to be very congratulatory of people.
Yeah.
They think that, oh, I can't.
Enthusiasm.
Too much. Yeah.
Is like being a pussy or something.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just, I don't know. And it's like, well, because that gets rewarded, you know, like being too cool for school. If you don't.
Yes.
If someone gets off stage and you're like, dude, that was fucking awesome, man. Like, I love that joke. Like, I was laughing so hard. They'll be like, what a fucking, dude, I can't, this kid's never going to be on my level, you know? And it's like, no, dude, just take it in. Your mom was so nice after the other night. Like,
yeah, I'm sure that they were very complimentary about you and David Spade, because they know that stuff matters. Like, my parents, and I like to say that I give as much as I expect too, because I was just talking about this, doing this press. Like, I remember Chris Rock getting off stage one time before me at the Comedy Cellar, and I was thinking, insert slap joke here. I was thinking, he doesn't need me to say good set, but when you are following a comedian and they're walking off and you're walking on, you always say good set, especially if it was a good set. And Chris Rock had a good set, like, you know, crazy that happened. But, and I just remember being like, I can't say good set to Chris Rock. He knows it's a good set. But then I remembered, oh my God, there is no amount of like good I'll ever be where I won't want to hear that. Like, no amount of success will not make me want the approval of my peers. And I'm, you know, so I remember him looking at me being like, thank you.
Yeah. The other thing too is expecting someone to congratulate you in the way that you want it. And then if you don't get that, then being disappointed in them, but then also being like, no, maybe they just don't know what the right way to congratulate you. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? Like, I got off stage that other night, the Spade night, and Brenna was like, that was really good, babe. They were like a quiet audience. And
yeah.
And like, she so didn't mean to be like mean.
No,
in that.
She's just used to,
she was
to,
just
like,
being honest, and was just like, yeah, they were like still walking in. Like, they were just like, they laughed quiet. And I was like, I thought it was hilarious. But
yes,
you know, it's just funny how people like can also like think you did amazing while also like
saying the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Or like just not
which
saying exactly what you want to hear.
Yeah.
I tend to ask for what I want now, as embarrassing as that is, like, especially in a relationship. Like, telling, it was really embarrassing for me to like tell Chris, like, I need you to watch things and to be like, wow, you were great on that. Like, I need you to do that. Like, I today sent Chris my schedule. Like, my assistant Jen sent me my entire like morning schedule of like, and it was it's insane. It was from 6 a.m. until right now.
Yeah.
It was just, I was doing a million different things and meetings. And I just looked at it this morning and I was like, someone needs to bear witness to this besides me. Like, I just need someone to go like, I see you. I know Jen sees it. Like, Jen is like, Jesus Christ, what are they doing to you? But I need, and I asked for this, you know, like, I'm trying to get people to watch my show and I'm doing what I can to do it. And I'm grateful that I even have the opportunities. A lot of networks that I've had shows on don't even promote my show and don't even give me the opportunity to promote it. And so I just feel like I have to take all these opportunities that I've been given. But I sent my schedule to Chris to be like, can you just see this and just go like, wow. It's the same way I feel about gangbangs that I've always said. Like, I never understand why they're all like, fuck you, bitch. You fucking whore. I'm like, can some one person just go, she is doing so much. I just want people to acknowledge like how much things are sometimes, because I'm always convinced that I'm not working hard enough and it's never enough. Like, to me, I'm like, okay, so I all I did was talk all day and like sit in a chair and have my makeup put on and like sit on a Zoom call and have people who are writing jokes for me like get approved. Like, to complain about that's so stupid, but it was just nice to have him look at it and go, yeah, that's a lot. Just validate you.
It would be funny though if you were like, is this enough? And he's like, yeah, you stupid whore. You got 9 interviews, you dumb slut. You're like, okay, this is better than I could ever imagine.
I do feel like my career is a gangbang. That's what I always say. Yeah. Is like, why do I like gangbangs? And it's because I feel like the girl in them is multitasking so hard and like just is able to take on so much. And I realize that like my career is a gangbang. Like, I have so many different, you know, there's dicks something in me.
There's something
like different shows. Yeah.
I guess calming in a way of like doing 15 different things where you can't focus on one thing so much that it will like make you so insecure and so nervous because you're doing so many things. Now, does that mean that the other things, if you're doing so much, are you not giving an A to everything?
That's where I get scared. Yeah.
Or is it more interesting to give a B to 15 things rather than maybe an A or maybe an F because you're putting so much on one thing? You know what I mean?
Yes.
So it's like, I don't know.
That's what I'm constantly trying to juggle. Is like, am I stretching myself too thin? And then I know when I'm about to like lose it and I'm not being funny anymore. And that hasn't happened yet. So I've prioritized not doing stand up at night and like just going to bed earlier than I want to, just so I can make it all work. But yeah, like, I'm doing Kelly Clarkson tomorrow and I'll talk about that in a second after we take this quick break. Andrew!
I'm here already. You know I'm here, dude.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward.
You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
So I'm doing Kelly Clarkson tomorrow, and it's the second time I'm doing it in a fairly short amount of time. I think I did it the first
with
time.
MGK.
Machine Gun Kelly with Madison Square Kelly. Madison. Well, I thought it was going to be MSG.
You know
Machine
what?
Gun
Maybe
Kelly, yeah.
Sleep more tonight.
I know. I'm doing it tomorrow.
Break down Kelly Clarkson tomorrow.
And I think usually before one of these appearances where it's like a big deal, I would overthink it and... Yeah. There is something nice about having so many things that I'm just going into it like it's just another thing. And and when I'm working this hard, I'm great because I'm getting so many reps in. Like, I'm good at doing press right now.
Who else is on the show?
I don't know yet. Actually, I do know. Dr. Phil. And we're also doing, like, it's going to air during the Kentucky Derby. So we're going to wear, like, Kentucky Derby hats and, like, have a segment where we're doing some kind of, like, I think I'm going to ask Dr. Phil for some advice. I'm going to show a clip where I peed in the ocean when I was in Cabo. And I was talking about, like, don't fake, like, you're, like, looking at the sunset. Just, like, squat and pee and get it done. So there's going to be a little, like, fun elements. And Kelly's just, like, so real and nice. And I had a good time the last time. And I'm excited to, like, wear something. Last time I, like, tried to style myself and it was a big fail. So I'm excited to wear something cute this time.
It would be funny if you dress like the... What was that girl that got so famous off of Dr. Phil?
Catch Me Outside.
Catch Me.
Oh, my God. I think
you're
it's like
yeah, I'm
going to
go Derby, and then
something.
You just show up and catch me outside.
You know,
she blew up, though. She really did turn that into, like...
She did.
I don't know. Do you know how famous? She's, like, insanely famous. That
right
girl.
Now, even?
Yeah, even right now.
It's so, like, funny how famous people can be, and I have no idea of anything they're doing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was talking about
Barbie,
that, like, on that DM
bunny.
Thing. What
Which
did you
one?
Say?
Oh no, there's, like, Bad Bunny, you know him?
Oh yeah. Well, the DM show I was talking about, they were, like, asking me, like, would you, it was called, like, slide or scroll? Like, would I slide into their DMs or would I keep scrolling? And I was like, I don't know any of these people you're presenting. And it made me realize there have been times that people slide in. There's someone recently that slid into my DMs and I go, Andrew, who is this guy? Because he was in pictures with, like, some, like, MMA guys and, like, some, like, Logan Paulish people.
God,
and I was
who
like,
is it?
His name is Jeff.
Like,
he just goes at Jeff.
Wittick, I think.
Yeah, and I'm doing his podcast. He's hilarious. And, like, he watched my roast and was like, dude, you're killing us right now. Like, you can tell he's just, like, stoned with a bunch of his friends. Like, I should have this girl on my podcast. She's going to roast me, dude. And so he DM'd me being like, you got to do my podcast. So I'm going to do his podcast. It's called Jeff FM. Like, Jeff FM.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to do that. But cool. He had so many followers. And I go, who the hell is this? It's just there's so many famous people.
He's a David Dobrik guy.
Yes.
I think. David Dobrik hit him with they did some kind of stunt. And he got really hurt.
Oh, my God.
And,
really?
Like, that was
I'll
the
do
big
my research
thing.
Before I go on. The other day I go, he texted me and I was like, what do you do? I literally go, what is your podcast that I agreed to? What is your, I don't even know his last name still. Jeff FM.
I mean, yeah, these guys can have like 30 million followers. And you're like, who follow, how old, what's the average age of the follower of these people? I kind of want to know sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But, and they all care about like their relationships. They're like, can you believe fucking Chester's with fucking Valerie?
I'm just a little bit too old.
They don't even
for
do anything. Yeah. Oh, I
really do kind of regret not being of like the YouTuber generation of like having crushes on guys that had little YouTube shows. Like these girls like love these guys that like were actually attainable because they're YouTubers and, you know, we're living in the Midwest or in Canada. Like, you know, I think there's something cute about it.
Have you ever heard of Mr. Beast?
No.
So he's the biggest person on YouTube. Like, he was on Rogan not too long ago, and he did a Squid Games reenactment. Maybe you heard about that. He did on YouTube, like, almost, like, just as good as Squid Games. Like, he puts millions of dollars back into his videos.
Right.
I don't know, like, their whole thing is, like,
well,
these YouTubers.
Well, he really gets back.
They don't, well, yeah. It's
fucking
no, he
Tom
do,
Shoes. He
yeah,
just,
yeah.
He takes the money he makes from his videos and he puts it back into the production. Oh, whoa, like a production? Like
yeah,
a business?
Like a but he drives a shitty car, Nikki.
No,
my
he?
Point is, all these people want, they don't want to be on TV. They just want to be big on YouTube.
Yes, they
That's
do.
All they care about.
Of course they want to be on TV. We yeah, all want to be on TV.
I don't think they do. I don't think they do.
Well, I maybe, know, I will say that I had my first TV show when YouTube stars were first starting to be like bigger than TV stars. And I remember there was a big push to like, we got to have YouTubers on, like, because then we'll get the YouTubers to watch MTV. And it doesn't work that way. They
don't
translate to
now?
TV.
Don't you think it's different
Some
now?
Some of them do. I mean, talent's talent. But I will say that like,
it's
just a different... honestly, more people watch YouTube. There's no denying that than like TV a lot of times. But there is still, there's, you know, there's not Emmys for YouTubes. There just aren't yet.
Yeah, I guess what were they called? There was some kind of award for YouTube.
The Tubies? But... oh, no, that's another platform.
But yeah, there's the Squid Game that has been watched by more subscribers than Netflix has. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That just like kind of puts it in perspective. Norm MacDonald did that YouTube award show. That,
oh, yeah.
If you haven't
I remember
seen
that.
It.
That is so funny. That guy on there that is the co-host.
Oh, my God.
One of the most cringy dudes I've ever heard. And I feel really bad for him because he was just trying to go toe-to-toe with someone like Norm MacDonald, which is just stop, don't even try. Don't be doing the, you know, I break an audience's leg. Just let it be natural. Like, don't try to make jokes back at him.
I mean, what do you do there? Do you just shut up and just play
laugh.
A straight man? Yeah, you just laugh.
You do what's his name does, Adam, Norm's old like co-host, and you just set him up. You know your place. When I am with David Spade, I am not trying to be the quirky, quippy one. Like, it's okay to take a back seat sometimes, even if you are known for being funny. Like, I don't know. I mean, you can go, you can have fun, but like to try to like roast, this guy was trying to roast
Norm. Well,
he's getting
mad too.
So, yes, I know. It was so uncomfortable. It's making me like, it's just making me twist in my own seat.
Because Norm
right
is on there. He's in like a shitty hoodie. He doesn't give a fuck. And this guy has on like glasses that are probably not even prescription, like in a tuxedo. Like he just I mean,
I
it made a great television, though, seeing the opposites. But, yeah, I guess you can't
10
you can't
years
get
later
mad.
Watch it. And Jenny Slate is on it. Today I was having that kind of moment. I'm doing these shows every day, if you want to tune in, Daily Pop and Nightly Pop on E! And Daily Pop is live, and the Nightly Pop is not live. But today, live on Daily Pop, they were talking about,
I just
like,
keep hearing this in the NSYNC voice. I can't.
Daily Pop. Daily Pop. Nikki went to L.A. She's doing press for 6 hours a day. She don't know why she agreed to it because she's kind of built that way. She's going on TV and talking about celebrities. A lot of them she doesn't know, and the other one she just nods along. Doesn't matter if Nikki wears Tanner or she's pale. It doesn't matter.
Daily Pop.
We never talked about that song, but we sing that song all the time. Once it's in your head, you can't stop. We were obsessed with it in high school, Kirsten and all my friends and I. And we used to go, it's the song, if you don't know, is Dirty Pop. And I recommend everyone listening to it because at the very end, he goes, Dirty Pop. And it's like, pop. And it's like, ding, ding, ding. But the Dirty Pop, Kirsten did this one thing one time when she called me and she was like, I remember I was going out of town to like France with my parents and I was gone for like 10 days. And she was like, here's a dirty for every day you're gone. Dirty, 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 dirty pop. So it's so funny just to go, it's so good. So I always think of like, here's a dirty for every time.
Daily, 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 daily.
So today I was doing
Daily Pop. So funny.
And we were talking about Gigi Hadid, and like they were like, there's a new skincare regimen that Gigi is the face of, putting your face in a bowl of ice water. And I was like, yeah, that's a good way to get down the swelling after you've had many surgeries that you're not being honest about. And you could, it was just kind of like
honest,
crickets.
honest pop.
It was just like, ah, we're not going to talk. And I was like, oh, are we not allowed to like call, like E is supposed to celebrate celebrities. And I understand that. But, and I'm not judging her by doing that. What I'm judging is like not being honest about it. And like, I'm not going to just buy that Gigi Hadid, like that's her secret, is dumping her face in a thing of ice water. That does not make your
no,
you know,
but the ice
hairline.
Water has scalpels in it.
Yeah.
And a doctor. A little doctor is in there.
Daily Pop. Let's get to the news.
A Dr. Pop.
You heard it here first. You heard it here first. Yeah, you heard it here first.
It's Wednesday Pop.
Dr. Pop sounds like a off-brand Dr.
Pepper.
Dr. Pepper.
Yeah,
Dr. like
Popper.
From like Sam's Club.
Dr. Popper. So it's Wednesday, folks. You know what that means? It's Wednesday, day after Tuesday, first day before Thursday. Hope you're having all the swells out there. And by all the swells, I mean the swelling in your face from getting that new Gigi Hadid cream. All right, back to you, Noah.
A father and daughter from Chicago were struck by lightning as they were heading to their car.
What? You brought that up earlier.
I know. And wow. There's two stories here that you brought up. Heading to their car from Steinbrenner Field in Tampa after the baseball game they came to watch got cut short because of weather conditions. Here's what happened from the daughter's perspective. There was a big bright flash and a loud boom, and next thing I know, my ears are ringing. I see my dad flying in the air, smacking his head on the ground, and I am flying through the air. I actually got blasted out of my shoes, and I landed on the pavement. For about 10 seconds, I thought my dad was dead, and I thought I was dying.
Oh, my God. Did the dad survive?
He did. He was like 100% paralyzed for a couple of seconds. But after that, he was able to move. And this got the attention of the team they went to see, which was the Yankees.
Oh.
And they sent them autographs and tickets in Chicago.
Okay, worth it. wait, do you know that if you get struck by lightning, you're more likely to get struck by lightning again? Like lightning knows?
Whoa.
They always say lightning never strikes the same place twice. Like that's some kind of saying, but it actually like people that have been struck before are more likely to get struck again than other people. I heard that the other day when
one
I was
guy
listening
got struck
on a conversation.
Seven times.
Right.
I think some guy has been struck seven times. I know someone that died from getting struck by lightning in Florida.
Oh, wait. Wasn't it like your teacher?
Yeah, my teacher popped.
Is that going to be your segment story?
Huh?
Is that going to be your segment story?
No, because I wasn't there, unfortunately.
Okay.
So I can't tell the story.
We have an
Sorry,
upcoming
guys.
Segment where Andrew's going to tell a story, but it won't be that one. Lightning is not something that I fear. I have a lot of irrational fears, but in my mom, I always remember being very scared of lightning. I do know that sometimes no one ever thinks they're going to get hit by lightning. You know what I mean? Like, you always think like, oh, that's an obvious thing. Like, but it happens very fast.
Yeah.
And it happens sometimes when there's no rain and it's like, you know, there's a lot of people. It happens on the golf course a lot, I think, is a common place.
A tree could get struck and then that will get you. So that doesn't help. Also, you're carrying around metal.
I forget what you're supposed to do. There was something I just learned.
Bury a
hole, I think you're supposed to like you're supposed to bend you're supposed to crouch in a way where your soles of your shoes are the only things touching there's some way to touch the ground. I mean, can we look up how to, if you get hit by lightning, what to do?
Well, when she got struck, the woman, it wasn't storm. Like the storm was far away. Like it didn't make sense. Like
oh,
at that
really?
Point, you're just like, okay, it's your time to go. I mean,
yeah. Well, I do know this. If you're ever in a tornado and you're driving, do not go under a bridge. And I know you think that's like, that would be the best place to go if you're like an overpass, but those become wind vortexes and all the debris and the most violent like debris that's like shooting through is going to go through that bridge. And the best thing to do is get out of your car. I know this is wild. Get out of your car and go lay flat in a ditch, like in the grass and lay flat, which I don't even know if I'd be able to do that. You know what I mean? Where they say like punch a shark in the face, or like when a bear is attacking you, just come at it, like do the opposite. Like that seems like I would just go, no, it's not going to work. I can't believe that would work. I can't do it.
Yeah, I would never be able to in a second
in an
of
earthquake,
time,
if do I, not go outside.
Yeah. What? Really? Even if you go away from
no,
the building?
No, because it's like falling trees and buildings. Do not go outside in an earthquake. Literally stay inside. Find a doorway or like under a table. Noah, what do you do in lightning?
All right. Crouch down in a ball-like position with your head tucked and hands over your ears so that you are down low with minimal contact with the ground. And that's from the CDC.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. All right. I trust the CDC, even though most people don't anymore. But there was something that I think I actually did had an Instagram where a Reddit that I saved that was like I follow this subreddit called Cool Guides. Guides, GUIDES, and it was like one about getting struck by lightning on a golf course, and I was going to send it to you because I was scared that you might die, and then I didn't because I, you know, got distracted by something, and I was like, oh, he'll be fine. What's the next news story?
You almost saved my life, dude.
I know, isn't that nice of me to almost do
that?
That
means a lot that you like almost did that, dude.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking of you, and then I stopped. Oh, wait, here it is! How to survive a lightning strike. Found it. Okay. So this is the interesting part. Crouch down like a baseball catcher. Get as low as you can. And then the thing that I liked was touch the heels of your feet together. So when you're crouched down, touch the heels of your feet together. If electricity from a ground strike enters through your feet, this increases the chances of the electricity going in one foot and out of the other, rather into the rest of your body. So it might just go broop back into the ground as opposed to brrr, you know?
Maybe so if touch I crouch down too, my hemorrhoid would save me. It would get the roid and not get
what
to
if
my
it would
body.
Yeah, it would light that thing up and it would just burn it off.
Oh, God.
And it would like have the flaps they put on the back of cars to keep from getting static electricity.
I wonder if, like, when you got shocked, we would see the little skeleton inside the hemorrhoid. You know how, like, when you get electrocuted, you see your skeleton? Does that happen?
I wonder there's a little guy in there.
Next story.
Yeah, there's a little guy. Right, dancing to Dirty Pop. Dirty Hemorrhoid Pop.
Sexual health experts say that we need to stop using the term G-spot because it's actually a zone made up of 5 erotogenic regions.
Okay.
So it should be spots? I don't know what's going on here. Like, what's G-zones. The problem here?
That's G-zones. I think Kylie Jenner is dating him. I don't know. Okay.
So they say there's no single spot. It's 5 separate erotogenic tissues that perform the pleasure sensations ascribed to the G spot. And then
okay.
They
aim small,
they
miss small. That's what I say.
What'd you say? You know aim I mean? Small, miss small?
Yeah. If you're aiming for one little spot and then you have 5 zones around that spot, you're going to get something.
Yes. That's why I always say, like, just go like all over and you'll hit something like really hard, like instead of going like because the little like twinkling a bell. The Sports Center music.
Sports Center clip. Wait.
But G-spot, I think that's the squirt spot where they frack you with their finger. And I think that's what they're hitting back there. Because it's in the back. It's in the come hither motion. That's where that zone is, now that we're calling it the G-zone. Which is a new roller coaster coming to Six Flags Great America.
Just think of like the ball zone. You know what I mean?
My newest erogenous zone that I'm so excited about that I had no idea is right behind my ear, like on my neck, like right here. Like whenever there's like a whispering or any kind of like tingling, it is like, I'm like one of those dogs with my legs shaking. I had no idea. It's so exciting to find out something new that you like. And that really makes you like, I've just never had a guy like whisper back there or be behind, but that makes sense because most, you know, humans, when we would mate, we would do doggy style. And like, that's where the guy would kind of, his head would be. And so it makes sense. It's like from behind. That's why my dad always has the grossest kind of like evolution. Like, that's why this, because we used to have sex this way. And I'm just like, I don't want to hear about the way we used to fuck, Dad. Like he always says that. The other day he did it. Luigi, he was telling someone, he was like, dogs like to be scratched right. Male dogs like they're like, chest because it calms them, because that's what's being hit when they're humping, when they're having sex, is like that's what they're leaned up against the woman and that's the part that's being touched. So it like, I'm like, so you're just like getting your dog like all horned up when you pet it there, even though I do pet Luigi there all the time. But it's not because And my dad used to say that men love cleavage because we humans used to have sex from behind, and cleavage looks like a butt crack. And butt cracks make us turned on because that's what we're looking at when men are penetrating us, or that's what they're looking at. Does that check out?
No, because how because cleavage, see the cleavage is not if you're from
cleavage
behind?
Was not a thing when we all didn't wear bras. Bra,
no, but how are you seeing the cleavage if you're behind the woman?
It's a butt crack. The the cleavage resembles a butt crack. The butt crack is the thing they were seeing.
Oh, I got you.
Right.
That makes not while you're actually having sex at a later date. Mm-hmm. Like later in the day, you're like, holy shit, I've seen that ass.
Yeah, you get horned up by cleavage because it looks like a butt crack that you would be looking at when your penis is inside someone. So it like makes you go like, oh, like when girls put up their hair, guys always like get turned on because they think it means like a blowjob or whatever. But it really just means I'm about to wash my face, wash all the cum off it. All right, we got to take a break and we'll come back with our new segment that I can't wait for Andrew to introduce us to right after this.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit RightRug.com. That's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at PurdueGlobal.edu.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Let's do Why Do I Care really quickly. Why do I care?
Why do I care?
Okay, what's happening? Nikki Glaser tour opener, Emil Joaquim to appear on The Tonight Show. Aww. With Jimmy Fallon.
Cutie.
Last night. Yes, last night. I'm guessing he killed because how could he not? Would love you guys to go give that a watch, to give, you know, just a hit and give it a thumbs up on YouTube. Go support our boy Emil. So proud of him. Wish I could be there. I got a text from Seth Herzog, who is the, you know, warm-up act. He also did the warm-up for my special and got to hang out with, we hung out with Seth all that night of my special taping, and he got to know Emil that night, and they just sent me a selfie picture. And I think he's taping it right now. What time is it?
It's like literally
it's 3
right
o'clock.
Now.
Oh my God, it is. Wait a second. I think they taped it at 4. Hold on. Let me just see. It's
he
6
said
o'clock
40
there.
40 minutes the other day. What was it?
Wait a second. Hold on. Let's see. He said the show starts at 5. So he just finished it. Oh my God, he's done. That is so exciting. I love to like think about like all of his hard work is now just paid off. Like he's right now, he's having the best moment of his life. Like 100%. He's either doing a set right now and saying thank you, good night. I just love that. I love thinking about, do you ever do that when people get like murdered or there's some like event and you go, what was I doing? And you know like the exact minute and you go, what was I doing in that minute? Do you ever think that? Like when tsunami hit, they'll be like whenever there's like, a plane crashed at 8:52 a.m. I'll be like, okay, that was Eastern time. That means it was 6:52 where I was. What was I doing at that moment? Do you not do that? I do that with literally any time there is like a time stamp on something. Even
but
the other night
at
when
the time of when the actual thing happened, where you were that day.
Yeah, oh, I wouldn't like, no, like, was I like wiping my ass when, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to like when Elizabeth Smart was found or something. Like I really think about like I love when there's like a specific minute when things happen or like a mass shooting started. Like the other day I was reading about a mass shooting and that started and they were like the shooting started at 11:52 and I was like, what was I doing? And I was like, oh my God, I was like waking up and going like, oh, I don't want today to start. And I was like, how crazy that I was just like kind of blearily walking to the bathroom when someone was like, oh my God, he's coming. Like, I think about that stuff all the time.
You're probably like that too after you've held your shit for 6 weeks.
Oh my God, it still hasn't
come.
Did you
shit yet?
No.
By the way?
No. Still
in me. You think you're going to shit before the ring comes off?
Oh my God, maybe it's the ring that's stopping it up. Maybe there's a. What if my asshole has turned into the ring, the tightness level, and nothing can get through?
Wait, can I ask you? You saw your. The people that dressed you for that, did they want to help you take the ring off?
No, it was actually their assistant. I told them about it, but they were just like, it's fine. It's whatever. So it's just, it's staying on. It's the biggest commitment I've ever had in my life. It's awesome. Still on, and it's been on since, wait, when did we tape the finale for Perfect Strangers? March 8th. So it's going on a month.
You know when people put rings around their neck and then their neck gets longer?
I don't need that for my finger. It's long enough.
That's what I'm
this
saying.
One's a
I
long
wonder
one.
If your finger's getting a little longer there.
Yeah, and when that finger is longer than your pointer finger, it means you might be a lesbian. That's not confirmed, but it often is when girls have a longer that finger than the pointer finger. That means they might be gay, because most men have that, and it means a lot of testosterone or something. I don't understand. Let's get to the new segment, Andrew. Let's find out what the segment's called, and I can't wait.
Andrew's succinct short story circle segment.
That's right. It's time for Andrew's succinct short story circle segment.
Circle segment.
Andrew,
this is where I guess I tell
stories.
A story.
Yeah, we wanted a place to put all of your great stories that you have accrued in your long, illustrious life that is coming to a close, and we want to celebrate you. So any day now.
I'm trying to think like
Noah really likes that because it was so true, you know.
So twisted.
Yeah.
Hey man,
that's what I meant by
at
true.
At least I'm going out not on top. You know what I mean? like at least I'm going out towards the bottom, waiting for a trust fund. You know.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Let's
not get too honest here. Okay, what story are you gonna regale us with
you
today?
You ever get sad like stuff? No, so I thought I would. I don't think I've told this story on here, but I think I've told you in person, Nikki. So pretend
great.
Like maybe
I like
you're
to hear your
this.
Stories again. It's a good way to remember them, so I can pass them on when you are gone pretty soon.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, just remember this story, and I'll remember the name of Wilco and or whatever. So Dirty Pop. So I was
I put
think
Dirty Pop in my funeral. A dirty for performed every by Wilco. Day you were alive, and it's 37 dirties. Okay. Dirty. I'm not counting anymore, but dirty pop.
That reminds me of that Bill Withers song, or Bruce Withers. Bill Withers.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
So that's the story.
Do we still have listeners? What I wanted to do was get rid of all our listeners before you get your own segment.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
No, what's your story? Sorry.
No, so I was in, I think, 8th or 9th grade, and my best friend in middle school or freshman year, whatever, his dad always had weed and, like, stalks of, I'm talking, like, and it was always in the garage, and it was above, like, it was in an area where you didn't think anyone would look, but everyone would look. You know what I mean? Like, you know when people hide things in a way of, like, also, we could probably smell it. It's probably hanging out at a rafter. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
It was so much weed. It was, like, an insane amount of weed.
Now, were you doing weed at this point, or drinking, or doing anything, like, or was this your first foray into that?
We haven't bought, I don't think any of us at that point has bought weed.
Why would you buy it if your friend's dad is growing it in, like, cornfields?
That makes sense. Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so this was the first time you were like, let's steal it from your dad.
Yeah, and we wouldn't, we did it multiple times because we could take literally an ounce and he'd have no, he'd be like, oh, I think I have more weed.
Yeah,
in
that's
here.
The thing about
like,
potheads.
That's how much
they
weed
don't
was in.
Keep track of things either.
Yeah. So we keep stealing the weed. We're not caught. And whatever, I say all this to go, we were at a party and it was out by the river. That's what you do in Florida. You party out by the river, and we're in like a field in a river and like in a gated community where a multi-million dollar house hasn't gone up yet. It's like right out of like the OC. Like we're just partying. We think we're cool, having a couple brewskis.
And sorry, this is middle school?
No, this is like 9th grade.
Okay.
Ninth or totally
maybe
not some people
school.
Were driving.
Yeah.
So I'm a junior in college, and so
you're an eighth grader.
I started growing like gray hair on my balls just then. It was weird. So maybe it was 10th grade. I wasn't driving yet. I know I wasn't driving yet,
okay.
And I'll tell you why. So I was probably 15. I'm going 15 here. Okay?
Sure.
So
permit.
So, dude, permit. I was 5'3 on that permit.
You hadn't got your driver's license.
License yet. So,
because you failed that test 3 times.
So we're at this party and we're fucking, you know, I'm doing my thing, you know, probably got like a Letterman jacket on and just chilling. And the cops come. We see one cop. And I don't even know. I don't think he was like the security cop. He was a cop.
Mm-hmm.
And I fucking freaked out. I didn't know what to do. Everyone was fucking, people started running and I didn't. And so I had cigarettes on me and I threw the cigarettes on.
Oh my God.
I threw a cigarette.
To be fair,
pack.
You weren't allowed to have cigarettes. You're 15. That's an 18-year-old purchase.
But can you have them at that age? I don't know.
I don't think but I'm sure he would have looked the other way. But okay, you threw the cigarette.
I threw a cigarette pack underneath an Explorer. I still remember it. I remember that. And my buddy's like, did you just throw a cigarette? I just remember him looking at me going, did you just throw a cigarette? Like right before the cop came.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, yeah, man, I'm just nervous. You know, he's like, what, are you getting rid of the fucking contraband? And I was like, okay, dude. Okay, whatever. So then the cop comes. I have two of my buddies jump the seawall. This is so Florida. Swim in the river, risking their lives with alligators, and swim like a mile away. The cop wasn't going to... We were all like private, rich kid. Like, this cop was probably just going to be like, yeah, can
oh
you
my
just go
God.
Home? Like, you just run, though, because you're so afraid. It's kind of like what you're saying with the bridge
cops.
Thing, with the tornado. They went under the bridge. So they ran. They're swimming away. They swam like a mile and a half. Like, they like lived on an island for a year. They grew a beard out, you know, they changed their whole life. So they swim away and the cop ends up like, yeah, you guys can't party here. Also, did someone throw cigarettes? I was like, that, well, I don't know what you're talking about.
So the cop like goes to where you're hiding, like after you run, the cop finds you? Did they chase you?
No,
like, what
I didn't
happened?
Run. I didn't run. I just threw
you just
cigarettes
stayed
and sat
threw,
there.
Threw the cigarettes.
So my friends ran. They ran.
Did you also throw like the sugar you had, the candy you had got earlier that day? What about the comic books and that picture of the girl with the big boobs you drew.
Hey, man, you don't know what the cops are going to get you for back then.
You were like, you know, I cussed an hour ago. Fuck, I hope he didn't hear that.
That's so funny you say that, because that's actually setting up the next part of the story. So my friends, they swim away. I finally, like, I end up passing out at one of the kids' houses by the party, because the kid that I was supposed to go home with is the one that ran and swam. So I get to his house the next morning, and it's the kid whose dad we steal the weed from. So he's inside.
So you guys don't know if these kids survived or not?
No, no. He's one of the kids that swam. That swam away.
So those the guys came back, though, eventually, those swimmers.
Yeah, eventually they came back.
Were the cops like, we have to go searching for their bodies now? Like, were they alarmed that they swam off, or did they not care?
They're not calling the boat cops on kids. They just are like, they're probably laughing at these.
I'm
like a McLovin situation.
For their situation.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. Maybe they're worried about them drowning. Yeah, I guess so.
Doesn't seem like it. Okay.
Not in Florida. Everyone can swim early. So, you know, they were riding a manatee just chilling. So anyway, so then I get back to the house that we initially stole the weed from. And the kid's sitting there with his parents, literally doing, do you remember, what's the movie with Slick Shoes where they try to find,
This reference isn't even lighting up anything in my head.
Dude, I know you've seen this movie. Goonies. Remember Goonies?
Okay. I know Goonies, but I've never seen it.
Okay, so there's this kid in Goonies who gets in trouble, and he ends up, they go, tell us everything. Everything. And he goes, in third grade, I stole, it's literally talking about. He's like, I stole a Twinkie from Mrs. So my buddy's doing that. I walk into him telling his parents every bad thing we've done our whole childhood because he ran away from the cops.
Oh, my God.
Now, mind you, I can't give away too much info. I can't give away that, but I'll tell you that off air. But so then the mom is like reprimanding us, and the dad, he's the one whose weed we stole. He's pretending like he cares, but he can't. He has no argument because his eyes are red and it's his weed. So he's just going, oh. Like just making noises, right?
Yes.
And my buddy's spilling all the beans, everything, saying everything we've done bad since fifth grade. My mom comes to pick me up, and I just remember my friend's mom going, our sons have been smoking pot. And my mom, I just remember, like, she wouldn't have really cared. But you got to, like,
of course, but
care.
She has to pretend because the parents are expecting her to. And our moms care more about what other parents think than actually doing what they
I was like,
want.
Mom, you just drove an hour drunk to pick me up. Like, stop. You know? Like, you hit, like, four kids.
My parents
like,
had the same thing happen.
So like, then she looks at me, though. She looks at me, and it gets real quiet. And she goes, you smoked marijuana. Like, it was the most parent thing you
can
do.
And you were just like, cool, mom. Yeah, who is this lady?
Yeah, who the hell? Oh, what, are you going to ground me? You don't even know where my room is. So.
You come out of your room, mom, and maybe I'll go to mine.
Stop grounding yourself, mom, with the wine you drink on the rocks. Hilarious. Holy shit. So anyhow, so I end up having to ride back home with my, and like, we still stole weed from him.
Yeah.
Like, that didn't stop.
I love
so
that.
So anyways, but that was a fun little high school.
The parents were the ones that got upset and like told your mom. Those seem like the cool parents. Any parents that are growing weed, aren't they the ones that are like, we'll let you do it if it's in front of us. Like, aren't they the cool?
They were somewhat cool, but they, you know, there's just peer pressure there. Now the dad, who was the biggest fucking deadhead you would ever meet, like was crying when Jerry Garcia died,
right.
Followed the dead, is the biggest fucking Trumper you'd ever meet now.
Right.
And it's just like, you know, capitalism and living in a small town like that where a lot of people are Trump heads, you forget about how you used to fucking drop LSD and hang with fucking Jerry Garcia and fucking roll around in grass and be naked in the mud. And now it's like, no, I want to fucking sit on a golden chair and listen to a guy that's never even fucking had a drink or smoked. You know what I mean? Like, Like, yes. I don't know what's happening. But anyhow, that was a fun high school story. It made me think
I love it. Final thought. It really reminds me of a couple things, actually. The first time I got caught drinking, too, my parents, my friend's parents, like, drove me and Kirsten to my parents' house, which is in the same neighborhood, and was like, we caught the girls drinking over at our house, and my parents...
What were you drinking, though? Where did you get the alcohol?
I think we stole beer from her parents' garage, and we were just, like, up in her room, like, chugging beer, chugging wine, like, whatever. You just... schnapps, yeah. Whatever you can find. And it's so gross, and I remember the boys sprinted away, and I just remember we were outside, we had drank in her bedroom, we were keeping it all, like, in this trunk, and then we went outside in our front yard, it was, like, kind of twilight, and there were, like, boys that came up to, like, meet us, and it was freshman year, and I remember her garage door slowly opening, and her dad was just standing there with the booze, just, like... busted, ladies, and he was just slowly revealed, like it was being downloaded, you know, like in 1998 with like a bad modem, and he was just appearing slowly, and then they drove us home to my parents, knocked on the door, and I remember like kind of expecting my parents to be a little upset, but they were just like, get in here, like, what are you, they didn't care. I obeyed my parents because, and I wasn't a bad kid who did stuff. Not because I didn't know my parents were not going to punish me for stuff, because they weren't. They allowed me to make mistakes, but I just did it because I just knew, for whatever reason, my parents, I thought they potentially could. Even though when they did dole out, like, go to your room, I followed it and I was scared of them, but they still never really followed through with any punishment. Like, I used to have really big crying fits, and they would be super embarrassed by them and say, the way you were acting right now, if this continues, you're not going to go to Six Flags. Not only are you not going to go tonight to the thing you're crying about, you're not going to go. And then I'd go, and I was just like, I mean, I'm an adult, nearly an adult woman, throwing herself on the floor. And I just remember them. Yeah. Like one night, I remember when I was like maybe five, I threw a fit in a convenience store. My mom, I was on the floor sobbing, crying, because my mom was like, let's pick out a comic book. And I wanted to get the Barbie one. And she was like, let's get Batman for your dad. He'll love that. And I just started crying instantly. And she was like, well, then we're definitely not getting Barbie. Like, you're not going to win this. And I remember just feeling so helpless. Like, there's no way I can get this Barbie thing. And the only thing to do is to just double down on the thing I've just started, because I've already embarrassed myself in front of my mom. She's like in front of other people. And I just fell to the ground screaming, crying. And I remember being humiliated by it, and her finally like picking me up and pulling me out. And then I went home and she was like, you're going to bed. You're going to your room. And it never happened before. I went to my room, and I remember my dad bringing my dinner on a plate, like, to my room, and like being like, you have to eat in your room. And I remember it was fried chicken.
You're like in solitaire. Yeah.
And I remember being like, I'm not going to eat this, because I'm going to show them that if they don't let me do it the way I want to, I'm not going to. And then I was like really hungry, and I was like, fine.
Then you did that for 4 years.
Yeah. And then I was like, I'm never going to eat again. But
I'll show you, mom and dad.
Something that really made me sad that it reminded me of was, there was this comedian, Brett Clausen, in St. Louis when I started. So funny. One of like the guys that like, he was probably like in his mid to late 20s, but he seemed so much older to me, but he was just one of those guys that a comics comic, like, oh my God, that's the guy everyone wants to be. And he had put out an album, and he was having little successes, but he was just a guy that like drank a lot and had like just a problem with alcohol, even though he was so nice. And so he really reminded me of Jesse Camp. Remember him, who won the VJ contest? Yeah. Very lanky, funny, like kind. He got pulled over for like a DUI, and he ran from the cops, and he jumped over what he thought was like a guardrail thing. And it was a like two-story drop onto concrete, and he was in a coma, and then he died. And it was all because he was trying to run from the cops. So the lesson here is, don't run from the fucking cops. I think that's a lesson, right?
Man, I didn't see the story going there.
I know, it was so fucking sad. And he hung.
What time was this at? I'm trying to think where I was.
You were throwing cigarettes underneath a fucking Ford Explorer.
They're Parliament lights, dude. That's 6 to 7 hours in the clank.
It was so tragic. There was like a lot of like bad things right after Brett's death. This was a funny bone comedian in St. Louis. Another funny bone comedian named Keith Sissel. It was the night before I was moving to New York. I had moved back home after I did the Tonight Show. I moved back home to St. Louis. And I was just biding my time until I saved up enough money to move to New York. And it was the night before I was leaving to go to New York. And I remember I went to the Funny Bone for like one last hang with all the comics. And that night I like said goodbye to Keith. He was like really drunk. And I remember like giving him a hug and then he left. And then my friend Josh left behind him, Josh Arnold. And then we got a call that Keith, right outside the Funny Bone, like on getting on the highway, was Josh came up, was the first person on the scene to his scene. He, I don't think, was wearing a seatbelt, and he nearly died, like probably should have died, and he lost his ear, but now he does comedy again, and he like talks about not having an ear, but like we were like, oh my God, tragedy keeps striking, and it was always like kind of a drunk driving incident, so be careful out there, and dirty pop, dirty, dirty, dirty pop.
Dirty pop, dirty,
don't
dirty,
be cool, dirty. And Jack, dirty pop.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit RightRug.com. That's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.